Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 27. Now, these are familiar verses. We have shared from Corinthians and Romans a couple of times, a few weeks in a row, but we're sharing our last Sunday of looking at some of the specific spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the scripture. And again, this morning, our scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of tongues to another. All of these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though they are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is our celebration of Ascension Day, and we celebrate the risen Christ. As I mentioned earlier, ascended into heaven to rule victorious, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. In Christ's resurrection and ascension, we celebrate the victory that it foretells for you and for me. With much uncertainty in our world, we can celebrate the certainty that we will rise and live with God forever when we trust in Him. And in this life, we celebrate that while Christ in body reigns in heaven with God the Father, we are His body here on earth. And we are here empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue His works in this world. I'm so thankful for the many gifts that the Spirit has given to each one of you that bring hope and joy to our community, and bless our church and our city and make this work possible. And so today we finish discussing our list of many of the spiritual gifts, not all, but many of those that are lifted up in the scripture. The first that I want to mention today is the spiritual gift of teaching. This is the God-given ability to explain, apply, and call people to sit under God's word in human life. In the book of Acts, there is a wife and a husband team, Priscilla and Aquila, and they both have this gift. They explain the way of God in a way that changes the lives of other people. People who have this gift, they love God's word. If you have this gift, you deeply believe the scripture has the power to change lives. And you'll often find yourself thinking, how would I teach this message? How could I tell other people about it in a way that God might use to change their lives? Now, I'm sure this probably describes many of our teachers who teach on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. They might teach children, youth, or adults. And some of you might have this gift and might not be in one of our teaching rotations. And if that is something that excites you and interests you, don't be afraid to try it if you feel like God has given you this gift. We would love to hear you share God's word with us. Now, the second this morning is the spiritual gift of intercession. This is praying for others. And of course, we are all called to pray, but this is a special ability. Like Elijah in the Bible had to engage in prayer for a prolonged period of time and to trust and to see God change things through prayer. How many of us have said to someone, I'll pray for you, and then forgotten to pray? Now, I think most Christians in almost every church could answer yes, that at some point they have forgotten when they intended to pray for someone. But some of you have a special spirit-powered, spirit-gifted capacity and passion for prayer. You believe in prayer. You just do. You love to pray. You long to pray. You persevere in prayer. And when something doesn't get answered right away, you just keep praying. And when you pray, things have a way of happening. Whether circumstances change or your heart changes or the hearts of other people change, you can notice that things are happening. And when you do notice, you love it. And this is a gift that you probably, if you have it, then you may have a prayer journal or a place in your Bible where you keep your prayer list and you keep track also of answered prayers. And if you are passionately drawn to prayer and you don't have a list like that, I encourage you to begin to record your prayers and how God is answering and working in those prayers. Now, the next gift is the spiritual gift of giving. Again, it's a special ability to cheerfully and creatively give to God out of your material resources. And this is another gift that we are all, as followers of Christ, called to give. We're all called to be generous. But people with a spiritual gift of giving find that they do generosity in a way that it's all around them. It's a part of who they are. They find themselves dreaming up more ways to be able to give. This might or might not be someone who has a lot of resources. You know that there are some people out there who actually practice what's sometimes called reverse tithing. Sometimes we see this in pastors who are authors that I think Rick Warren is one who does this, where they keep 10% of what comes to them and then they give away 90%. Sometimes people think, though, that the only people who have the spiritual gift of giving are people with a lot of wealth, and that's just not true. Many people, maybe you, have an ordinary income, but you have an extraordinary gift of giving. This is in the Bible where the widow gave her last coins to God. Jesus said that she gave more than everyone else. Maybe it's like the little boy who gave his whole lunch, a couple of fish, 5 loaves of bread, to Jesus, and through that gift, Jesus used it in amazing ways. If this is your gift, you just love to find ways to give. Now, the next gift is the spiritual gift of wisdom. This is the ability that God gives to some people in the body of Christ to have insight into problems and to recognize what matters most. What's the priority here is to bring clarity in a situation. Solomon was famous for asking God, "Would you give me the gift of wisdom so that I can reign with wisdom?" If you have this gift, people tend to come to you with their problems and ask for help and direction in key moments of their lives, and you're able to give it. Often it seems really simple to you, and you might not even understand why people come to you or why they seem amazed by this gift. People with a spiritual gift of wisdom, they have a God-given ability to help people around them to make better Christ-centered decisions. And that's often how you'll know that you have this gift, is because not yourself, but people will come to you and share how your wisdom has given them clarity. And then the last gift I'd like to share this morning is the spiritual gift of serving. Of course, we are all called, again, we're all called to serve. And that is what makes the church, as individuals out in the workplace and the body of Christ working together, it's what makes us different from the world around us. It's why God thought of this amazing, beautiful idea of arranging the church around spiritual gifts. But people with the spiritual gift of serving, they have a special ability to identify what the unmet needs are around us. Where is there a lack? Where is there a hole? To figure out how to put together people and resources to get involved, to make a task manageable and to see how the needs can be met. Now, this might overlap with some of those first gifts that we discussed. And we see this gift of service in the book of Acts. There's a woman by the name of Dorcas, and she has the gift of serving. A really beautiful character sketch is given of this woman in the book of Acts, and it says these simple words: she was always doing good and helping the poor. What an amazing thing for someone to say about you: always doing good and helping the poor. It seems to be one of those spiritual gifts that is not in the spotlight, but we notice when it's missing. We notice when it's gone. And that's what happened with Dorcas. You might remember that Peter arrived in her town. He was headed there to preach, and just before he got there, Dorcas grew sick and she died, and the people wept for her. And widows who lived there, they showed Peter the robes and the other clothes that Dorcas had used her sewing ability to make for them so that they could be clothed. And Peter was so moved by this and by their grief that he prayed, and Dorcas was raised from the dead. Now, Peter had gifts too, of leading and preaching, of resurrecting. So you might think that surely Peter's gifts were much more important than Dorcas' gift of service. But when Peter died, Peter was not raised from the dead in that moment, at that time in history. The church apparently decided that they could get along without Peter being raised in that moment, but not without Dorcas and her gift of service. Now, the scripture tells us there are many gifts, but one body in Christ. And if you've listened over the past several weeks and you find yourself thinking, I have Jesus in my heart, but I don't think I have any gifts, let me say first, that is not true. And you need to call a friend who has the gift of encouragement. Maybe you've thought of who that friend is when you listened a couple of weeks ago about encouragement, and they will tell you, yes, you have gifts. If you find yourself thinking, on the other hand, I think I have all the gifts, call someone with the gift of wisdom, and they'll help you to discern the one or two gifts that are really the strongest in you, so that you can use those to help guide you as you do ministry. Who is called to serve the body? The answer is everyone. And one gift is not more or less important than another, more or less. We've heard the word essential quite often in the past few weeks. One gift is not more or less essential. We need every one of you for us to function in our community as the body of Christ. Your gift is important. Please don't miss discovering your gift right now. If you've not already figured out what your gift or gifts are, please don't miss this time of discernment, because then you can use those to inform you in how you're going to serve the church and the community in the days to come. Now, this week, I would like to hear from you. I really and truly would. I want to know what you believe your gift is. How are you using it to serve. And if you feel like you've been serving in an area that's really outside of your gifts and you're interested in finding a new and different way to serve using your gifts, I would love to hear that as well. Again, I look forward to hearing from you by phone, text, or email this week. And I look forward to seeing you and to serving, to doing, to being in ministry together as the church. Let's pray together. Loving God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the many ways that you have gifted them, that you have called them, that you have given them passion to be about your work as the church. Loving God, I miss seeing my brothers and sisters in Christ in person. And we pray that you would strengthen that bond and that unity between us during this time that we are apart. And we pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds for service as the body of Christ when we draw back together.